Yes, I want to just talk a little, give a little bit of background, first of all. For a real long time, last 20, 25 years, I have found myself in a rhythm. And what usually happens is around about Christmas time, I usually get quite quiet and reflective and don't try to do very much. And then during that time, for about a month or so, things start to occur to me for a new theme. And that theme then, usually by the spring, is very clear what that theme is that I'm going to be working with on myself, in myself, living and communicating. And so then that theme runs usually for a couple of years, and then it subsides or gets subsumed into the next theme, which then grows up. So last couple of themes were, for example, well, the last one was from last year, was the seeds of enlightenment, that we all have the elements of enlightenment in us, and we just need to find them and nourish them, nurture them, stop things getting in the way of them. So that theme, just sort of gently, almost like a garden, you know, in autumn, everything just sort of went down into the mulch, as it were, and went into that whole Christmas time, and I really didn't know what was next. You know, I didn't have a clue. And I kept on thought, I'll push it. It's getting a bit late, actually. I think I'll push it a bit. No, that didn't work. And then one morning, I was sitting before breakfast, and it just came to me. It was so obvious. I couldn't believe I hadn't seen it. I had missed it. It's the middle way. The middle way is a primary teaching of Buddhism. And I thought, yeah, right, okay, so great. I was clear, I knew what it was. I could relate to it straight away. I thought, there's lots of material here I could do. And then I started talking to my peers and people who I've been ordained, and I said, well, what about middle way? And they said, what's that? Basically, it was very interesting. Lots of people who I talked to didn't have a day-to-day relationship to what the middle way practice is. And I was like gobsmacked. Honestly, I was really surprised. And I thought, right, that's it. And that's my way for the next couple of years. So, where are we? We're October. So I've been at it, as it were, since about February. And going around senders, doing it in my community, teaching it, reflecting on it. So I'm going to open up the general approach of the middle way in one's life. I'm just going to talk about it very generally, first of all, and briefly. So it's not going to be theoretical as much as possible. I'll keep it very down to earth and practical. And then I'll guide you in to a series of meditations in which we will explore different facets of, well, in a way, how to practice in the middle way. So, I think of the middle way as a sort of creative ascendancy. I don't know if you saw the picture that I sent to Ratnaprabha for the publicity. It's this amazing Pegasus with a huge wings, just flying up with Bellerophon on his back, just sort of going like that. But the thing about it is the size of the wings. That was the bit that really captured me, that there was this real sense of ascendancy. And I think that the spirit of the middle way is that at any given moment, any given day, hour, week, that one is working at finding the elements in one's life that give one a sense of progress, development, transformation, and ascendancy even. Now, very generally, there's a model. I'm not going to write it down or draw it. I'm just going to do it in the air. There are polar extremes. Now, there are lots of polar extremes that one can find oneself in. And then there's sort of the positive counterparts of those polar extremes. And then there's the coming together of those positive counterparts into the wings of ascendancy. So, I'll give you an example. So, one can find oneself polarized between just not caring, and giving up on this, on practice. Oh, it's too cold, I don't want to get out from under my duvet, don't want to do my practice, losing any real kind of grip and bite on the importance of it. I'll do it tomorrow. A sort of quite laissez-faire, loose kind of approach, where there's no real engagement with what needs to be done. And then the other polarized side is complete gung-ho over the top. Thousands get massacred with every run. And it's very controlling, very pushy, doesn't really take into account what is actually happening, but it just battles bulldog like to the very end. And it's quite hard and inflexible, and there's lots of shoulds. It should be like this, and we should do it, and you know, we shouldn't. And this example, I mean, it's not, obviously there are lots of examples of polarized qualities that we have. But I just wanted to bring this out because it's quite common, I think, that sometimes people get in one or the other and swing backwards and forwards, or you can have a predominant flavour of one more than the other in your life, and then you get exhausted and go to the other one, or you sink and then realise you need a bit more effort and you go to the other side. But the middle way is that the question is, what are the positive counterparts? That's always the question. So in any given situation, when you've got a polarity, the question is, what are the positive counterparts to those unhelpful extremes? To the extremes which, in a way, don't serve your development, don't serve your growth, don't serve understanding, don't serve you nurturing and nourishing anything positive. What in those, as it were, fields of influence are positive? So, very, very simply, one could say, there's lots of ways of approaching this, but that one had a relaxed approach to things. Yeah, one on the one side. So rather than not engaging, you're engaged but you're relaxed. And there is a sort of pliancy, a flexibility, where you will follow things. Now, pliancy and flexibility are very important qualities. You know, they're essential to being able to stay with positive states of mind. Let's say, for example, you get in touch with the quality of care and kindness and generosity, and you come into it and you stay with it, and it starts to change and grow and deepen. Flexibility allows you to follow that. If you start to get a bit rigid and say, no, it shouldn't be like that, that's not like the Metta Bhavana I know, you don't follow it, it doesn't grow. So you need to be able to follow qualities, let them grow. So this pliancy and flexibility is a positive counterpart to just whatever kind of state of mind. On the other hand, the positive counterpart to that, you know, I'm going to make this happen and it should be done like this and this and it shouldn't be any other way than this and this is what the teacher said. It'd give me a headache just even saying it, actually. The positive counterpart is what needs to be done here? What actually would help? It's really practical, really direct. What needs to be done? So I need to relax. Oh, well, that's a good thing. So that you're already bringing in the other side there. I need to be able to get a sense of what's going on. Yeah, not just assume it's all terrible and needs to be pushed against. What is going on? So you start to get more of a perspective. Yeah, and then when you act and you do something, it's in direct relationship to what is actually happening, rather than bits of predigested advice that you picked up from others. You know, oh, you should do this. If you're in that situation, you should do that. It's directly coming out of your perception of what at that moment you feel would help. Now, the great thing about that is that you might be right or wrong, but you learn. You learn over time. How brilliant is that? So this quality of bringing together the sort of relaxed, attentive quality, pliancy, and what needs to be done, there's this sort of very interesting moment, I think, where they're not quite together. You're sort of maybe going backwards and forwards. You're being quite practical on what needs to be done and not quite relaxed, and then you try and be relaxed and then you're not quite thinking about what needs to be done. Somehow or another, they're a bit like oil and water. But part of the art of the middle way is to keep these positive counterparts together, keep them in relationship. And they actually want to be together. I'm going to be doing this all evening. And then they lift you up. When they come together, there is real progress, real development, real creativity. And a real sense of lifting yourself up out of habit and stuckness, actually. So that's a very general overview, just using that sort of example. Now, I'm sort of always very conscious that doing it is far more effective than just listening. So what I'm going to do is ask you to sit yourself down comfortably, if you're not already, in a meditation posture, and I'll guide you into this process. Comfortable? Have a direction, and the direction is to bring together the sense of settled calmness and relaxation with the energy of attentiveness. So just in your mind, just set your direction with those two things: relaxation, directed attentiveness. So just getting a sense of how you are, where is the balance? Are you more in the attentive energy or more in the relaxed? What do you need more of now? It's a genuine question. And start to engage with what you feel you need more of now in terms of relaxation and attentiveness. So if you need to be more on the relaxed side, you can drop words in like pebbles in a pond, like settle, arrive, calm. If you need to be more on the attentive side, then drop some words in, again like pebbles into a pond. Engage. Attend. Stay with this. Having a whole sense of yourself sitting here, sense of your body and your general mood and energy, what you're like now, coming into it. Bringing into awareness these two positive qualities of settled relaxation and engaged attentiveness to being present and experiencing your body and your general mood. And now in your own way, just explore going more to the settled, relaxed quality in your attentiveness, the openness aspect, you could say, the pliant aspect, and then more to the more directed, attentive, engaged quality. As it were, swinging backwards and forwards, but letting them both be here at the same time. letting your main focus in your body now be the quality of temperature. Explore your whole body in terms of the coolness, warmth, heat in different parts of your body. This quality of being pliant and attentive. Feeling your attentiveness like a leading edge. Now, bring your focus up to your face, feeling the whole of your face, the jaw and the mouth, the tongue, nose and so on, and the skin right in terms of temperature. With the quality of pliancy and flexibility, bring your hands up slowly in front of you. And slowly bring your hands towards your face, very slowly. As you breathe in and out, feel the breath. So let your hands first of all be, say, a couple of inches away from your face, and feel your breathing on your hands. And even breathe out through your mouth. Bring your fingers together so it's like a whole wall in front of your face. You can feel the air coming out through your mouth, and feel the temperature on your face and on your hands. Feel the difference between the in and the out breath in terms of the temperature. Feel how hot it is. Very slowly letting your hands flow down back into their resting position. And come back to the awareness of your face. And be open to the quality of being settled and relaxed and attentive in your focus on the face. And now the nostrils, the breath coming in and going out, settled and attentive. Follow the breath now as it comes in to the lungs. Follow the sensations right down deep into the body. There's this openness quality while staying with it in the experience. In the breath continuously. Adjusting with the settledness or the attentiveness as you need to. As you absorb how you feel, settle into how you feel, have the intention to keep this settled, relaxed attentiveness as you open your eyes and sit comfortably. So I'm just going to say a few words and then I'll just ask if there are any observations that came out of your experience of that. Part of my background was that I started meditating when I was quite young, when I was 18, 19 year old. I went to Japan to meditate in a Zen temple. and I really didn't know what I was letting myself in for. After a week, we were doing 14 hours a day, pretty consistently meditating, and a lot of silence. And so I think I got quite a lot quite quickly, actually. But one of the things that I got really probably in the first week was that when you sit down to meditate, and it doesn't really matter what kind of meditation it is, if you sit in your daily meditation practice and you exercise qualities like this, it's not just about the meditation. They're skills for your life. So because there's nothing else but you learning about, for example, in this meditation, the relationship between this settled, relaxed quality and the attentive, engaged quality, you had nothing else to do. You didn't have to do anything else. No one was coming and saying, "You've got time," or there's nothing, no distractions. It was just this. So it's very distilled, quintessential experience of it. And over time, that practice, then you get it more and more. But it's not reserved just for the meditation. It's then an ability that you have that you can use or experience in any context. The first thing that came to my mind, I bought a really beautiful Sabatier cook's knife today, really beautifully weighted. And, you know, I noticed when I was cutting a courgette, it was right there. I was just had the qualities. I was very relaxed and attentive. It was incredibly sharp. And it was just like those qualities. I won't say it was just like meditation, because that just sounds a bit new age. I don't mean it in that way, but the qualities, the learnt qualities, were there in that moment. So in a way, the more that we put ourselves in the position of having a regular meditation practice where we engage with bringing these things together, the more that they actually come together in our lives, in our communication, you know, in the ways that we treat people, you know, in the things that we do, you know, even the things, just being more passive in a way, to use that word, just listening to music, for example, or whatever. These are primary qualities and a primary integration that we pay attention to and perfect in the sits that then enrich our lives. So, just a little word. When I ask any observations or anything that you notice from your experience, I'd rather that no one got abstract or theoretical or started talking about what other people think. You just talk. I had someone say, "Well, what if you were in a fight?" And I said, "Have you been in a fight today?" And he went, "No." I said, "Okay." So keep it related to your experience. How was it? Any observations? Was it easy, difficult, interesting, not interesting?
For me, it was quite easy.
Great.
Yes. So first, because I travel, it is quite a long journey for me to come to my center. And I had a problem, so I had quite tiring like journey and everything. So when you said just relax and that mode I came.
Yeah.
And then the observation comes.
Yeah. Great.
So it was really nice.
Good. Good.
Really, really Nice. Thank you.
No, it's a pleasure. It's lovely to see you. Thank you. It doesn't all have to be nice.
I brought a hand, my hand up to my face, and it just struck me how beautiful the breath felt. Like it was so soft on my hands, and then it was really, really lovely. I haven't done anything like that.
I'll tell you how I came about suggesting that at the class. I just got so fed up with people suggesting raisins. Enough of raisins already, you know, in mindfulness classes. Have a raisin. I thought there must be another way of actually getting the direct sense of something wonderful in your direct experience. That's how I came up. Any other observations?
Can I describe my fear? Because I was grumbling away to myself about somebody had said something to make a bad situation worse, and I thought, I've got to get out of this. And suddenly a voice said, what about mudita? And I suddenly remembered that the wonderful situation is going to happen on Saturday in which we're helping to make a man really happy.
Yeah.
And suddenly... I forgot all about the grumbling, and everything was in balance, and it did come up.
Yeah, in a way, you did that thing of, well, what's needed? And mudita is such a positive quality. Mm. That it's what you needed.
Yes.
Yeah, great.
I can't remember whether you said to, I think, become the breath, or you said become the breath at some point, and or focus, I can't remember.
Come into.
Yeah, and I really kind of, experienced, rather than me experiencing the breath, I felt like I was the breath experiencing the breath. Brilliant. And that was really quite fun. but in a very, in that place of peace, so it was really interesting to kind of explore with that attentiveness in that relaxed place, and for it to shift, for the perspective to shift, but still, you need the relaxation.
You do. Brilliant. Well, have confidence in that. You know, that will serve you well in times when you're perhaps not in such ideal conditions. Not someone talking you through it, you have to come up with it yourself, but you've done it. You know that you've done it.
Is it like a technique of bringing you into meditation? I mean, like the relaxing and the attention, which could be on you relaxing, or could be on your breath, or just the quality itself of attention, and sort of refining sort of the attentiveness in itself. I don't know, I'm just trying to figure out exactly what we're trying to do. And another thing is that...
Can we stick one thing at a time?
Yeah.
Otherwise it gets difficult. Can I just answer that?
Mm.
I have a very simple approach usually. I try and simplify it as much as possible. So I think, what are the fundamentals in the moment? And what's the technique? So the fundamentals fit into the technique. So in this instance, the technique was actually directly experiencing the fundamentals of relaxation and attentiveness. There was some technique about focusing on the breath, but it wasn't very technique strong. You know, it was more fundamental strong. Yeah. Now, sometimes you might need to be more technique strong and say, okay, so I'm going to do the counting. First stage, second stage, drop the counting. And it's more technique strong. But you always attempt to have the fundamentals in there. That you never let go of the fundamentals. So that you always sort of know what your positive your two basic positive qualities are at any given time. So in this case, relaxation and attentiveness. They're the fundamentals. The focusing on the breath is a technique which is, in a way, an anchor for those fundamentals. Something to think about, anyway. It's sort of.
So the focusing is distinct from the one of the fundamentals being attention.
Yeah. Well, the being attentive is a sort of focus. But actually to say, oh, you're going to focus on the breathing is in the realm of technique.
Yeah. So attentiveness in itself, in a sense.
Yeah.
Sort of as a quality of yeah. sort of like whatever you put your attention on.
Yeah. Thank you. Anything else?
Is this a meditation you should do solely?
No, I think actually that sort of comes directly out of that, really. In a way, what I taught you was more just focusing on the fundamentals rather than a technique. What you could do is that you could use the techniques you usually use, like the mindfulness of breathing or the metta-bhavana or body scan, for example, and bring in the fundamentals. Right in to the technique. So they got it's got teeth while being soft. That's it. You're getting a feel for it? Yeah? A bit? Okay. Just a quick question, I didn't check with you. What time would you like us to finish for tea?
We usually have tea about 8.
Okay.
So we could stop now if that's your time.
Let me just... I think I just want to bring in something before we go and have tea. And that is something that... It has to do with the quality of direction. Right at the beginning I said one always needs a direction. And this is absolutely primary. Your thinking mind, for example, your intuition, can give you a sense of direction. So your thinking mind might say, well, yesterday I did the metta-bhavana, today I'm really scatty. So today, in terms of technique, my direction is the mindfulness of breathing. So you have a clear direction in terms of technique. And you're not going to go halfway in 10 minutes, oh, maybe I should be doing the metta-bhavana or oh, body's going, oh, what was it I was going to do? I can't remember. You by exercising your skill in intentionality, you basically are able to galvanize yourself over time into what you decide to do. Basically, you get mastery over yourself, over the parts of yourself. I want to think about this, I want to think about that, but you're all rubbish. But I do, I still want to do that, and I still want to do that, and I still... No, we're doing this. The more that you exercise your ability of engaging with what you decide that you want to do in your direction, the more that your mind eventually gets it. Oh, that's what we're doing. Oh, okay. Let's do that then. No, yeah, okay, we'll do that. Sure, yeah. yeah. And so there is a really strong case for taking on intentionality, clear intentionality, without being too rigid.